for. This is a bit scary, this part, okay? Their words and doctrines prepare the apostate church of the last days to accept the Antichrist, his mark, his image, and religion. Lucifer worship. Jeremiah 23, verse 36. Five New Version editors have prematurely lost their ability to speak. They have been made dumb. They cannot speak anymore. Genuine. Dinkum. They can't speak. Their voices have gone since they've translated the Bible into this version. A new Christianity is emerging from the New Version, which substitute riches for righteousness, or happiness instead of righteousness. It substitutes a crown instead of the cross. We're going to rule. We're going to be prosperous. If we preach messages to make you happy. Don't make the people feel uncomfortable. Don't preach anything that's going to make them not want to come to church. Give them something to make them feel good about themselves. But the cross convicts. And you see yourself before a holy God. And you must come away feeling totally worthless and useless without Jesus. That's how you should come out of church saying, what do I need to do to get my life in order? How can I be more holy before God? The New Age religion will have a worldwide leader called Lord Maitreya. It claims that he is on the earth now and that the individual is, and that this individual is the one Christians call the Christ. So he's now going to come and present himself to Christians and say he is Christ returned. The Jews would call him the Messiah. They would say the Messiah has come. The Buddhists call him the fifth Buddha. And the Hindus call him, can't read my writing now, Krishna, I think it is. And the Muslims call him Iman Mandi. So they're all waiting for a saviour. But each saviour has got a different name. And there's only going to be one. And his name is Jesus, and he's coming back for the church. And he's coming back for the true church. Do you know we're going to be so shocked to see who's raptured and who isn't? The ones that you think are definitely not going must probably be the ones that do go. New Age symbols, you need to be able to recognize them because there will be logos of companies that are actually New Ages. Triangle, the circle, the rainbow, hexagram, sun, the swastika, the all-seeing eye, the wheel, the lotus, crystal, dragon or the serpent, the yin and the yang, a mermaid, a pegasus, and a unicorn. I was really distressed to see that you have a school called the Unicorn. The next thing that we're going to look at is Kabbalah. Kabbalah is a religion of spiritual power. The name of Satan is never used, but Baal, remember we spoke about Baal, and Moloch, I showed you the picture of Moloch, are worshipped. It is a form of magic using letters, numbers, and names of power that was developed by certain Jewish rabbis. 22 tarot cards are used and a mystical commentary of the Pentateuch called the Zohar. The Kabbalah theology is that not only was Israel and the whole world in need of salvation, but even God himself. It involves divination, conjuration of spirits, clairvoyance, telepathy, spiritism, and reincarnation. The doctrine of sex is very important when considered to be the central root. I'll just show you the symbols in Kabbalah. I'm sure you've seen people wear the bottom triangle with the Jewish letters. They wear it around their neck. They actually put that around their neck, and that is called a tetragrammaton and is used as a talisman for protection. So if you have one of those that somebody's brought to you from Israel, you've got different ones up. We're just looking at the Kabbalah ones first. Sorry, I jumped to the New Age. Yes, I'll go back to the New Age now. Sorry, Denise. So there you can see those are the symbols that are used. Now we'll just go back to the New Age. I want to just show you some of the New Age symbols, and you'll be able to recognize them on products, on books, and on logos, and so on. Right, there you can see that one. A hexagram is when the two equal triangles intersect. If it's a hexagon, then they've got lines that join the points. Okay? It's a six-sided figure. And in nature, we see this shape on insects' eyes, and they're made up of many hexagons. We see a snowflake is made up of hexagons. So a hexagon is not an evil thing, because God has used the hexagon in nature. But now Satan has perverted it with all of this. Okay? When the two triangles interlink like that, it's known as Solomon's seal, or the Star of David, or the Crest of Solomon, or the Shield of David. You find them actually on those things. That Star of David is actually a very ancient symbol. And in my personal opinion, I don't believe that it's something that they should have. That's my opinion. Okay. Look at the next one. We've all seen the peace sign. Go to the next page, please. There's the peace sign. We've all had it drawn on our suitcases if you lived in the 60s, and if you were a teenager in the 60s. You had a peace sign, and that was now supposed to be so great, okay? But that peace sign is really the perverted upside-down cross inside the circle, okay? And there are some other New Age desecrations of the cross. The triangle is the primary form of the pyramid. It represents the trinity of false deities. Horus is represented by a triangle going down, with a point down, and Osiris is when the point goes up. And remember that it can also represent, Osiris can also represent Set. They would call his name Set. Okay. Now we're looking at sorcery. It operates through physical objects or through ways of impacting the physical senses, example, drugs or music. The word comes from the Greek word pharmakeia. So your pharmacist is not a devil, okay? But that's where the word comes from, because of medication. That's where the word comes. It's drug or poisoner or pharmacist. It includes physical objects used in the worship of idols, in false religions, cults, satanic practices, and or any object where a practitioner of the occult has invoked a supernatural power, even if it was for good, like a healing power. So he now, you went to see this Sangoma and he gave you this red piece of wool that he bought. It's okay, but he tells you it's holy, and he gives this to you, and he invokes something on this red piece of wool, and he says to you, now this will bring you healing. So you now have to put it under your pillow or on your big toe when you sleep, and now you're going to get your healing. Now he meant it for good, but open the door to evil power. So many times you've had things like that, or you've bought something thinking it's going to bring good, but the source makes it a channel of a curse. All objects of expression of superstition, lucky charms, horseshoes, saints, amulets, and ankhs. I mean, we grew up in a home where every end of the year, my father turned the horseshoe either this way or that way, because it was supposed to bring us good luck, and if we had no luck that year, then he turned it the other way. So, you know, it was just rubbish, okay? The ankh. Let's look at the picture of the ankh so you can see it more clearly. Okay, you can take that sheet off. We can actually see the whole picture, thanks, Lucy. There's some more Egyptology stuff. The symbol at the left is the crux and sata, sometimes called the ankh. It combines the masculine tower cross with a feminine oval to symbolize the principles of generation. Illustration at the right is Egyptian conception of creation. That's their story of creation. Adam, Eve, and the two children. Can you see? Much of this symbolism has continued through Freemasonry and other secret organizations. So there you see that tower cross. if I can find this little picture now, I'll just tell you something else about it. It was coiled as a serpent. That used to be like a serpent at the top there. In extremes, it symbolizes Satan is supreme over the cross. Okay, that's what that circle means, because the circle is that. The anchor also is a sex goddess. If you wear one on a chain, what you are really saying is that I despise virginity. So if you've got one, and you always just thought it was a fancy cross, you need to get rid of it. It serves Ra, the sun god. Okay? Go back now to the birthstones. If you had a birthstone that you wore because that you were born under the sign, drugs, heavy metal music, rock music, pagan fetishes, zodiac signs. You know how you have your coffee mug and it's got Pisces the fish on it? Somebody gave it to you. You need to get it out of your house. You need to destroy it. Charm, lucky symbols, you know, the rings that people wear around their, those seven rings that they put on a chain around their neck, those are seven lucky rings. They're not friendship rings, they're lucky rings. And of course, if you are looking at luck, well, then you're serving the devil too. Let's look at the hex signs. If you don't know what a hex sign is, this is what it is, and you will find this stamped onto leatherwork. Quite often it's put onto leatherwork in the flea markets. And sometimes you will find it on bits of jewelry where they'll put these pictures. Okay, and each one means something. But now we're not going to get excited about it and think, oh my word, I'm sure that's on that vase and all that. God will show you if there is something in your home. Okay, so you don't all need a copy. Okay, voodoo dolls, pentagrams, African masks. If you've got African masks in your home, you've opened the door to their spirits to come in there and cause strife in your home. They must be destroyed. Their beadwork. They never do beadwork without a story. There's a story in there about so-and-so who's going to meet their lover and they're going to be happy and they're going to have so many children and da-di-da-di-da. And if you've got that wall in the lounge that's got the African mask, the spear, the shield and all the beadwork, well, you need to do some praying and ask the Lord what you need to do about that. Just remember that if these things are in your home and they don't belong to you, you can't touch them. So if that's your father's favorite African mask, you can't go at midnight and sneak it out the back door and bring it tomorrow to burn. It does not belong to you. You can only look at your own things, your own stuff. And that doesn't give you license now to walk into everybody's house and stand there and check out the house and say, yes, that must go, that must go, that must go. Okay? God will show each person. But if somebody says to you, do you think this is wrong? You can say, well, I would suggest that you actually get rid of it. But you don't go in and be bossy boots now, that was a great revelation. You're going to tell everybody to get rid of all these things. Okay, that's really foolishness, because you'll just have an enemy. Every carved object on the island of Bali in Indonesia is immediately consecrated to the devil when it is made. So if you've been to Bali and you brought some nice little goodies, I suggest you do something. Polynesian dolls, those little tiki dolls, all bring a curse. The yin and the yang sign, if you have it. Now I'm going to tell you a story, and this was applicable to me, okay, of where I was at with the Lord. I had felt that I'd kind of got rid of everything in my home that the Lord showed me was wrong. I'd gone from room to room. I still do it regularly. I go from room to room and I say, Father, is there anything in this room that dishonors you and does not bring you glory? Give glory to Jesus, to Satan. Show me, because I'm ready to let it go. And a friend of mine came, I mentioned her in the front of the book, taught me a lot about the ministry, and she said to me, your plate must go. And I had a beautiful plate that was my great-grandmother's of the story where the willow pattern, where the little Chinaman is chasing after his daughter, and she's running across the bridge after her lover. And I looked at my friend and I thought, well, that'll be the day. I mean, I like this plate. It was the only thing I got from my grandparents, my grandmother. And I thought it was very beautiful. I love blue, so this just went with the decor and everything. But when she left, first of all, there was an anger that came up inside of me, okay? And of course I didn't show it. The mask came up. And when she left, I asked the Lord, I said, well, Father, if this thing is bringing any curse into my home, I don't want it. I don't want it in my home. And Lord, you're going to have to show me how I'm going to do it, because my heart felt heavy to do it. And the very next day, the maid was vacuuming, and the back of the vacuum cleaner smashed this thing off the wall. And it fell onto the carpet and broke into lots of pieces. I mean, not thousands of pieces, lots of pieces. But now if you drop a plate on the carpet, it doesn't break. But this broke into pieces. And I know that God helped me. He really did help me. And Hetty, you must share, perhaps just stand up quickly and share about your carpet. Because this was really an awesome, incredible way that God helped Hetty to get rid of something.
In my home, it was very difficult to get rid of things, because my husband does not believe the way I do. So I bought a carpet in Peru and hung it up on the wall. It was a very big carpet. But I never felt quite comfortable every time I walked past this carpet. And I was on my way to go to Israel, and I prayed a very simple prayer. I said, Lord, if this carpet doesn't honor you, please destroy it. 3 weeks later, I came back, sat down to talk to my family, and my daughter was sitting directly facing the carpet, and she said, Mommy, do you know that your carpet is full of holes? And praise God, He sent a worm to eat up all this wool on the carpet.
So you see, when you can't get rid of something, ask the Lord to do it, if you are in a difficult situation. But I want to tell you that the Lord, since then, had revealed to me the effect of that curse. Because you see, that had been in my home for a long time. It wasn't in there for a week. It had been in my home a long time. And I have to tell you that the tragedy that it's brought in my home, I have an illegitimate grandchild, in that my daughter did not get married. And so that curse has affected. And my eldest daughter was the one that we became Christians only after she was born. So my son, I have three children, my son and my daughter serve the Lord, but my eldest daughter is still in rebellion. And she ran away, just like that curse said. She does not have a husband. She left our home and went into rebellion. So you see, the effects of the curse are there. And you then walk it out with God's grace and His love for that, for your children. See the reaping and the sowing. Okay, now we're going to look at, where are we? Talking about. Okay, all these occult gifts focus on the mind. The true gifts of the Holy Spirit focus on the spirit. Now we're going to see how in Acts 19 verse 12, how Paul prayed over aprons, and they took these aprons into people's homes, and there was healing and deliverance for these people. Now Satan has these same aprons, where there are people that actually will curse objects to bring division in your home, divorce in your home, all sorts of problems, and then you go and buy them and you bring the curse into your home. So it works on the same principle. It's a homing device that Satan has in your home. You're the light. There is always a measure of the giver that is given with a gift. Do you know that when you go buy somebody a gift, something of you is given with that gift? Because that's the same. When God gives you a gift, the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, you receive the Holy Spirit in the gift. When Satan gives the gift, you receive something of him. So you might have many of his gifts in your home and have his presence living there. In Japan, spirits are actually placed on vases, dolls' heads and figures. They're placed on those, and then they go into the marketplace. And the spirit lives in that vase. And that I saw on one of these geographical videos. When I was teaching, we showed the children, we were doing Japan, and we showed them a geographical video on Japan, and you actually saw them praying the Spirit into the vase before it went to market. So you see, you might have one of these Japanese beautiful vases. I mean, really the most stunning stuff, and you might have it in your home where the Spirit is now living there. We also see a transference coming with the laying on of hands, which we've spoken about. I think we mentioned it earlier. You see that Spirit will transfer with laying on of hands. Scripture says, be cautious about laying on of hands. Don't just lay hands on everybody. And you don't have to let everybody lay hands on you. There's no difference in the prayer if you're praying with somebody or if you're laying hands on somebody. There might be a point of contact that God will specifically tell you. You need a point of contact, then you lay hands. Okay? But if you're ill and somebody prays for you, they don't have to come and lay hands on you. You don't have to. And if you feel a bit uncomfortable, you can just say to the person, I'd rather you don't lay hands on me. That's not an offense to them. Because you see, they might actually pick up your chorus. Never mind you giving them the chorus. So if you put it across to them like that, then it doesn't offend anybody. Now, there's no such thing as innocent participation, nor can you read up on these things without being poisoned. Spiritual suicide, the Bible calls it. God is a compassionate God, but He does not revoke His laws because we did not understand. So God's law stands, okay? How you decorate your home is usually an indication of spiritual problems. So go home with new eyes and look at the art that you have on the walls. Look at the things that you have. And if you've got one of those, what's it? Tetchikov. You know the lady with no clothes on in this red thing? If you've got that up on the wall, you can be sure you've got sexual problems in your home, whether they're manifesting in you and your husband or it's going to come out in your children. You see, if you've got nude pictures all over the place, you're opening the door to it. If you have occultic things in there, you're opening the door to it. So go into a person's home and you can soon see if there's something there. So now please, all the people that we're staying with, just relax, okay? We don't get together to discuss what we've seen. You don't have to run in first as we get to the door to hide something. Demonic posters. If you've got a rebellious child and he's putting demonic posters up on the wall, you have every right to ask him to remove those because that is your home. Okay? If they, you know, the goat's head and all the rest of it, he does not have to have that in your home. That is your home. And you must take authority in your home. If he's playing demonic music, you have every right to say you will not play that music in this house. He can play other music. Okay? Because as for you and your house, you will serve the Lord. And if he doesn't want to serve the Lord, in time, when he reaches that age, he must go somewhere else. That's called tough love. And it's very tough. Now, this is another sore point with people. Owls and frogs. There are certain people that will collect owls. You find that a person who has an affinity to owls, that they collect, you know, from this size down to these little midgets, there's a witchcraft root in that family. Whether it go back, way back, or whether it's right there. They're drawn to owls or to frogs. You'll find that if children play with toys that are frogs, they will have nightmares. They'll be unsettled. We don't need to have these unclean creatures. Now, I've had the Bird Society, you name it, phone me and blow my head off because I've said this about owls. And you really, I'm not telling you to go and kill the owls or to go and shoot them. And I'm not telling you that you must go out on a frog rampage, okay? That's not what I'm saying. But you need to just check out if you've got these things in your home. And then say, well, is there a witchcraft root? Because then it must go. I don't want these things if it's drawing those demons. Okay, so please don't go away and say, Carol said we've got to shoot the owls and kill all the frogs. Okay, now there are lots of scriptures about owls for you to see. And I'm not going to give them all to you. But what I want to give you, the history of it, so that you can see why owls. Now we know in the Bible, God calls them unclean, okay? But he calls other things unclean too. An ostrich is unclean, but it doesn't mean you must get rid of the ostrich eggs. Can you see? All right. So now we're looking at what is this, why was it unclean? The Druid religion stems from Babylon. They practiced in the northwest of Europe. Idolatry, human sacrifice, witchcraft, Halloween were all practiced by them. They worshipped at night in wooded areas. They worshipped the stars. Owls and ravens were bearers of divine information and were consulted by the Druid priest. You see, they were watchers. The owl was used as a watcher. We spoke about watchers yesterday. The followers considered the owl to have words of wisdom. You remember the fairy stories about the wise old owl? Well, that's why he was known as the wise old owl, because he used to bring the information as a watcher to the Druid priest. Halloween holds him as a personality. You can't have Halloween without the owl. And I'm going to talk about Halloween just now when I get to Satanism. Owls represent, now this is where you can write it down, the spirit of abomination. Leviticus 11, 13 to 16. The spirit of confusion. Isaiah 34, verse 11. The spirit of emptiness, a famine of spiritual things, goes with that. The spirit of desolation, Jeremiah 50, verse 39. And I ask you, would you have an evil pagan deity in your home? Exodus 20 verse 4 says, thou shalt not have any graven image, whether it be on the earth, under the earth, under the waters, you shall not have it in your home. Now just to come back to these translations, do you know that the owl has been changed in the New King James Bible? It's been changed. Now usually the New King James is very much like the Old King James without the these and the thou. But it's been changed in the New King James. And the owl has suddenly grown a long neck and it's called an ostrich. Now, can you see any resemblance between an owl and an ostrich? But the New King James says it's an ostrich. And you want to go check it out? Here's a scripture for you. Job. It's either 20 or 30, but I think it's 30, verse 29. Then, do you know? There's another change, just for your information. Dragons in the old King James suddenly become jackals. Not called dragons anymore. Now, I mean, there's a big difference between a dragon and a silly little jackal. Big difference, but why have they changed it? Your scriptures are Isaiah 34, verse 13, Isaiah 43, verse 20, Jeremiah 50, verse 39, Micah 1, verse 8. Okay. So we need to clean out our home and get rid of all these things. In the Old Testament, the only solution was death. Nothing has changed. Death of the old man must take place with the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. There must be a new birth. The curses must be dealt with and the land that was given to Satan taken back. Our faith must rest on the power of God and not on the wisdom of man. Now the end of those who exercise these occultic things. In other words, if you have been involved in these things and you now had to die, okay? We have seen, and it is recorded, that the person has a horrific death experience. They do not die peacefully. There is a tremendous fight at the deathbed. We also find that there are many suicides in people that have dabbled with these things. We find that there is a lot of fatal accidents in people that go and fiddle with it. And a lot of psychosis, which is the medical term when you just go crazy. So there's a tremendous influence on you if you have dabbled with these things. And God is speaking to you to destroy and to make a decision and to walk in His way. Now let's look at the fruit. Renouncing will shut the door. It will take away the devil's power. But let's look at the fruit. Remember that the fruit is sometimes... No, because if you look in Scripture, it clearly tells you about that. That only if you go and eat with somebody and you know that thing's dedicated, while you're sitting there to eat, then you should not eat it. If you go, what is it in Corinthians? Go and read Corinthians, because I can't now explain all of that. But go and read it, and you'll see it explains very clearly how we don't offend a brother, but we have protection against the food we eat. That's why we pray over our food. Okay, I think if you have to try and find a chicken that's not halal, you'll have to go to the farm. You won't find one in Joburg. Okay. Yes. No, I would differ with you. I would say that a person that has got an occultic root, it usually comes out in their art. Okay? Ask yourself, why did I draw the sun? You see, there was something drawing. You did not say, I'm creating a deity here. I don't worship this thing. But there's something in you that leans you towards that. Now, I'm not saying you've got to go and destroy it. But if God showed you, you would need to. But many times you minister to somebody who's very artistic and who's had this occultic root, you can actually see it in the painting. I ministered to a lady she's quite a famous artist, and all her paintings were under the earth, in that they were the roots or underground, the sand, you know, what was happening under the earth. That was all she painted. But they were the beautiful paintings. There was nothing gross about them. It was really beautiful. But the minute she got deliverance, she started to paint lilies and flowers. And now they had no roots anymore. Now it was the leaves and the everything. So it was something that was coming through in her painting. You find with writing as well. If you write a book, the person will write more about that sort of thing. When they get born again, then they don't write about things like that. See, it comes out without you realizing. Okay. Yes. Okay, you go to somebody who usually calls himself a homeopath. He then looks into your eyes and he studies your eye and he says, okay, you've got liver problems. Because he now looks at the segments of that eye and he can see that there's something wrong there. Okay? The homeopath also uses your saliva. What's that in English? Oh yes, naturopath. Okay. Yeah, but as soon as they're using that, they're using another source of power. Because you can't see anything in your eye. I mean, the doctor comes with a little light to actually see if there's pressure behind the eye. Okay, but he doesn't see if you've got something wrong with your knee. Okay. Now, look at the fruit. Remember that the fruit, reaping what was sown, is sometimes slow in coming. Okay? So now look what happens. First of all, there's a spiritual blockage, which I'm not going to go through all one by one. You can do that. Then there are physical symptoms. Then we've got the emotional instability, which comes in violent tempers to cursing and hatred and anger and so on. Then we've got melancholia. Okay, now do you know that melancholia, the word melancholia, the Greek word melas or melas means black, and cholia means gall. It's a good name, hey, when you feel melancholic. Black gall. Okay, then depression comes in there. Abnormal sexual behavior in children. We find masturbation starting from the age of 2. Now, I mean, you can't see that as a sexual thing. I mean, this child knows nothing, but they will begin to masturbate. That is a spiritual thing that must be dealt with. As they grow up, they've got strong sexuality. By the time they're 10, they're already seeing all the pornographic stuff in the shops. They're already eyeing the girl down the street. And all the other kids are playing dinky cars, okay? So there's something that is now stirring up inside of them as they approach puberty. Mood swings. unsociable, as hardness of heart, miserliness, boy, they don't give to anybody, and a domineering spirit. Then you've got the mental problems, from confusion all the way to being a slow learner, lack of concentration, lapses of memory. Now please don't all run up here and say, it must be that, that's why I've got lapses of memory. Look, we do get old, okay? And if you've not kept your brain active, then you get to 60, you do have lapses of memory. But if you can't remember your grandchildren, your husband's name, well then, maybe there's a problem. But lapses of memory is a general thing that as you get older, if you've not kept active. So please don't think now, because you've got that you've got an occultic root. Okay. Mental illness, inner voices, fear, panic attacks, neurosis, and suicidal thoughts all come from this root. And then 4.5 is the development of mediumistic abilities, general mediumistic sensitivity, clairvoyance, appears as a secondary consequence, not until the second or the third generation. So to become a medium doesn't come out in you because you dabbled with it, but your children are quite psychic. They can sense things and so on. And we're not talking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Strong mediums develop when all four generations have practiced occult roots. So if you've been to a psychic, it's because all four of her generations backwards have been involved in occultic things. That's why she's got that power. Okay? So we can see that from this you will have alcohol abuse, rebellion, pornography, sexual sin, heavy metal, rock music, which will promote rebellion. They all get involved here, and there will be a financial drain on that family. They might be wealthy while they're in it, but eventually there comes a time where the finances dry up. The occultic involvement will affect the generations thereafter, as we have already discussed, but the blessings are for 1,000 generations, because a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. Now in Scripture, different words are used, and you can look at them at home. You can just add in the column, modern term, underneath medium, you can write channeler, because that's the new age term now. The person's called a channeler. In the column called modern term, you write channeler, and that's now the necromancer or the spiritist, the consultant with familiar spirits is now called a channeler. And to channeling is the ability to call forth the deceased spirit of someone who lived many years before. Often those spirits claim to be ascended masters, those who have gone on to discover the eternal truth of creation. What a lie. Okay. Now I'm going to read a testimony to you. And as you read this, it's a very sad testimony, but I want you to see God's grace as I read it to you. The scripture that is on the top of this testimony is Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. The good men perish, the godly die before their time, and no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to realize that God is taking them away from evil days ahead. For the godly who die shall rest in peace. When my son Ryan was killed by lightning 17 years ago, I never asked why. Not because I didn't want to know, but because I was convinced that God had a perfectly good reason for doing so. I believed that when I got to glory, he would explain it all to me. I never for one moment thought that he would tell me this side of eternity. So it came as a real surprise when I was awakened in the early hours one morning. I lay awake for some time praying about this and that when God suddenly cut across my thoughts and prayers and made me go back to the time when I was only just a few weeks pregnant with Ryan. We lived in a little dorpy, and one evening, having nothing better to do, we decided to engage in a little harmless entertainment in the form of glassy glassy. This was by no means my first encounter with the occult, but it was certainly the most costly and devastating one. From that very day, the game was on. The life and well-being of our unborn son became Satan's target. If only I'd known then what I know now, that one cannot entertain oneself with the occult and come out unscathed. We take the consequences of our actions even when done in ignorance, even if we don't really believe in it. Satan does, and he is to nobody's plaything. The first onslaught came within days. Wayne, then only a few months old, contracted German measles. If I had got it too, Ryan would have been in serious trouble. But God intervened, and I didn't get measles. Although I wasn't a Christian at the time, God miraculously intervened. This time, and every other time, Ryan was in danger in the next 12 years. The next few years were a merry dance. Premature birth, seizures at 6 weeks of age, a prognosis of mental retardation, chronic croup followed by chronic bronchitis, falling from the top of a high slide, being in a car unattended and the handbrake slipping, contracting a deadly virus that nearly took him at 9 years of age, to name a few. Yet each time God rescued him. Each one of those episodes is a story on its own. With God doing wonderful things for us, what a loving, merciful Heavenly Father we have. I believe that God in His wisdom took Ryan home prematurely to put an end to the struggle that his life had become. I believe He did that because although I was by now a committed Christian, I was still totally ignorant about spiritual warfare and how we open ourselves up to demonic interference and oppression if we dabble with the occult. Before I was saved, I didn't know that God absolutely forbids this sort of thing. I had messed around superficially with fortune-telling, spiritism, and all sorts of other things which I won't go into right now. Suffice it to say that because of my ignorance and stupidity, I had been deceived into thinking that it was okay to dabble a little bit here and there. After all, what harm could it do? I know now that I could have cancelled all the rights and ground I had unwittingly given to Satan. And I know that I could do that and how to do it. And had I known that I could do it, I would have done it. I would have repented earnestly and thoroughly of every one of my violations. I would have asked for and received God's forgiveness and cleansing. I would have taken back from Satan every weapon that he had and was using against us to harm us as a family. I would have done this in the mighty, all-powerful name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The curses would have been broken then, even as they are now. And perhaps we still would have had a son called Ryan at our dinner table. I asked Father God why He had revealed all this to me now. And this is what He showed me. Firstly, He assured me that He had taken Ryan home because He loved him so much, and not as a punishment to us. Because I was more mature now, He could trust me with this information. I could handle it without going on a massive guilt trip and falling apart. He dealt so gently and lovingly with me. It was beautiful. It was to serve as a warning to others not to play around with the occult and to think that there wasn't a price to pay. To exhort Christians who had messed around with the occult to repent of it, renounce it, and break all curses. I believe that God is calling Christians into a new, dynamic walk with Him. He wants us to be free from occult bondage so that He can use us effectively in that which He has, which He is about to bring about. Our beautiful son Ryan is in heaven enjoying wonderful fellowship with his Savior. Our matchless Father has healed our hearts and filled us with joy and expectation, and we have something wonderful and someone wonderful to look forward to. The scripture 1 Corinthians 2:10 is how she closes. But we know about these things because God has sent His Spirit to tell us. Merlin Ralph. Let us look at the sources of our occultic roots and the psychic pathways. The first one is the heredity, which we've touched on. This inheritance coming down the family from generation to generation. Practice of the occult is equated by God as idol worship. It is at its core an insult to God and a direct violation of the second commandment, where you open yourself to a curse for generations after you. Personal occult experiments, dabbling. It doesn't matter if you weren't serious in your dabbling. Laying on of hands. We're not talking about laying on of hands of being healed in a ministry. We're talking about where you go to a psychic healer or you go to any one of those people where they lay hands on you now to supposedly bring something. a transference from a medium. A decree of Satan is spoken over you each time you've been to a fortune teller. A decree of Satan has been spoken over you by what that person said. Sexual intercourse with a person involved in the occult causes you to become demonized. If you've had sex with a prostitute, you have been demonized. Occult games, television games with occult overtones, the movies, these can all open the door to fear. Fear is the entry point that Satan will use to get you involved in other things. Selling your soul to the devil by following the counterfeiter. In other words, if you've now got involved in Satanism. Satan's personal divinity is backed by psychic powers. As people sell their souls to the devil, he will give them powers to do things. If you've used a ring over your unborn child to see what sex, you've brought a curse on your child, and you need to break it. You don't have to come up for prayer. You break it. You go to your child and you say, you might not understand what I'm doing now, but I'm going to break a curse that I actually put over you when you were in my womb. And you break that curse in the mighty name of Jesus. You have the same forgiveness. Ask to be closed off by the Father from the enemy, to be hidden. Have deliverance, begin to take back the ground, receive healing, and burn everything connected with the occult. And now let's turn to Deuteronomy 7 so that you can see what God's Word says and that it's not Carol trying to get rid of all your rubbish. Deuteronomy 7, verse 25. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it, but you shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. You don't take that jewelry with that sign to the jeweler and have it melted down to make another ring. You don't take it to sell to get the money for the gold. You destroy it. And I would just say that if it was jewelry, because we cannot have a fire hot enough to melt jewelry, if it's a ring or earrings or something like that, that has got a pure demonic thing, wrap it in some toilet paper and flush it down the loo, because it will be destroyed. Now, this is homework. As I'm going through it, you can begin the homework. You know how you used to do this in class? As she was going through it, you start doing the maths already. Okay? Occult checklist. So you've got your pencil in your hand, and as I'm describing it, as you have done this thing or been involved in it, I want you to make a tick next to the little block. Why? So that you can go and be specific about the repentance that you're going to do when you go home. It's not for me to look at. I'm not going to call you up and say, bring your book, let me see all the things I must now cast out. No, it's for you to go and do the repentance specifically about each thing. Okay, spiritism and spiritualism. The difference is that spiritualism has a Bible, hymns, and a church gathering. They come together in a church. Spiritism is not that. You go to a meeting, they close the curtains, they put the Bible on the table, they light a candle, and everybody sits around in a circle. That's spiritism. But spiritualism, they can actually sing hymns and have Bibles and then run around after the spirit. Okay? Mediums, clairvoyance, automatic writing or painting, speaking in a trance, glassy, Ouija board, table lifting, psychography, and then of course you've got the channeling there. Okay? It's just if you know your parents have too, because you're going to now deal with that as well. Okay? But not unrelated members of your family. Okay? Incubi and succubi spirits, I will talk about that when I deal with sexual sin. It's the sexual intercourse with demons. You would have experienced it if you would know, because you've woken up at night and you've known something strange is going on. Okay? Even if you don't understand it all, just tick it. I'll explain it in the following lecture. I'm not going to go through them all, because otherwise we'll be here forever. Excessive sensitivity, in other words, you've had visionary dreams, guided imagery, psychic visions, and you've used visualization. Now, I have to tell you about visualization in the church. So, again, we have a bit of a hard one, okay? The most powerful techniques being used to initiate people into the New Age religion is visualization. It has crept into the church and equates the occultic techniques with faith and prayer. Sorry if I offend anybody, but Yonggi Cho teaches occultic visualization as Christian doctrine. This is not equivalent to biblical faith. If you have to close your eyes, see your car, you know the color, you've got the keys in your pocket, you can feel the keys clinking here, you now take the keys, you start your car, and down Kyle Army track you go. Okay? That is not biblical faith. That's visualization. There's a fine line here, okay? And only the Holy Spirit can show you if you've been involved in it. You see, a person who has not got an occultic root would not do it. But the occultic root will lead you to do it. Visualization is an ancient tool for the person to grow. You concentrate on the image. Your power goes onto the image. It's not saying, Almighty God, I believe that you will bless me with a new car. I see that car with the eye of faith. Because your focus then is on God, not on the car. Do you see there's a difference? In ancient Egypt, the followers of the Egyptian god, whose name was Thot, T-H-O-T, they believed that ill health could be overcome by visualizing good health. Now, when I read that the first time, I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. Because I knew how many times I'd been praying for somebody sick and I'd actually say, I see you getting out of this bed. And I would visualize them being healed. And my focus was on them being healed instead of on, oh God, you do the healing. Okay? Occultists believe If you can vividly create in your mind, it will be manifested in reality. That's what an occultist believes. So can you see the connection? We can control reality with mind power. That's what the occultist says. Now I know I've read Christian books with this in it. And I guarantee, personal opinion, okay, this is Carol, I guarantee the person that says that has got an occultic root. And I really trust, I'm not offending anybody, but I believe that Yonggi Cho still needs deliverance from something from the Buddhism. That he might have changed now, but I've read books where that's what he did, what he encouraged Christians to do. Okay. So you see, he's not all evil, he's not all wrong, but that part is just a little off. Like there are parts that I might be off, or you might be off. Okay, we're going on here. Clairaudience is the hearing of voices. Psychic healing, the proper word is clairsentience, which is an irrational diagnosis of illness by mediumistic sensitivity, like the iridology, taking a piece of your hair or saliva, all those sort of things. The rod and the pendulum, swinging this to be able to diagnose your sickness. Color therapy, crystal gazing, and so on. On the other side of that, you've got the saliva and the hair, clothing analysis, transference of symptoms to another person. There are some psychic healers that they go and they say, okay, I'm going to take your sickness from you. Then you walk away free, and then the psychic has to deal with whatever he's got. If you've ever listened to Fiona Desmontaine's testimony, she talks about how she had to do that. And the person got healed of their illness, but died in a car accident or had something more horrific happen to them afterwards. If you're born with a caul, that's where you, as you are born, part of the uterus covers your face or the top of your head. And in Afrikaans, it's a met die helm gebore. Okay? So that's best Afrikaans. Okay, so that's if you've got this. So if you've got that, they have already proclaimed that you have psychic ability. Divination is the art of soothsaying, which we've touched on, palm reading, graphology, astrology. Divining for water. The farmers are usually quite good at this. Got their little sticks and they can tell you where the water is. They put down the borehole and there it is. If you've done that, even though you were desperate for water, and if you hadn't got water, you would have died, still sin. Augury, we don't see too much of this, but in the black community, they will read the entrails of a chicken, egg yolk, water divining, tea leaves, coffee reading, sangoma, psychic switch doctor, hypnosis, all forms of meditation, spiritistic healing, black and white magic, voodoo pins put into a dollar or a photograph, blood packs, subscriptions, fetishes and amulets. An amulet is a power-charged object for protection against magic and demonic danger. And a fetish is an artificial object which has been regarded as being animated, in other words, having power. It is carried on a person for protection. Remember our old St. Christophers? If you were ever an Anglican or perhaps a Methodist, I mean, you wore a St. Christopher. I wore a St. Christopher everywhere I went. And if I, when my chain broke, I actually even pinned it onto the inside of my blouse so nobody could see it, because I really believed that St. Christopher would protect me, because I was so in fear of anything and everything that moved. The ankh, the Italian horn, I've shown the ankh already. Lucky coins, rabbit's foot, fertility dolls, the leprechaun staff. What have I got there? What have I got a picture of there? Oh, the crescent moon. Okay, let's look at the crescent moon and star. In the old days, they used to have a lot of jewelry, especially if you come from England. There was jewelry like this. See there? There's a star, and that one on the right is actually the piece of jewelry. It's got diamonds or rubies or something. Okay, if you have that is a sign of witchcraft, and it really has to go. You've been initiated into witchcraft if you're given a piece of jewelry like that. You can't really just buy it. Okay, so if you've inherited it from somebody, you need to get rid of it. Then we've got sexual activities with those in occult bondage, chain letters, moonmancy. That means that you do everything by the signs of the moon, whatever's happening with the moon. Numerical symbolism. Everything happens in threes and thirteens, and you don't do something on this date and so on. Significant days and dates. I know of a pastor who would only have a haircut on a certain date. Okay? He really didn't know why he was doing it. He just felt that that's the date he must always have a haircut. Worship of pagan gods. Taoism, which we've touched on. I've told you all the things. It also includes the karate, judo, kung fu, aikido, judo, jiu-jitsu, yoga, tai chi, and I'll deal with that in lesson 7. Satanic literature. So you go to the bookshelf and you check out if you've got any of these. Dennis Wheatley, Lobsang Rompa, Edgar Casey, Linda Goodman, A. Ford, The Ring Books by Tolkien, John Dixon, Jonathan Livingston Seagull, Norman Vincent Peale. Positive, the power of positive thinking. And yet some more, David Spangler, Benjamin Krem, Wayne Dyer, Marilyn Ferguson, Alice Bailey, and H.G. Wells. So if you have those books, you need to destroy them with fire. Well, are you quoting the Bible or are you quoting Norman Vincent Peale? Well, it must line up with God's word. But you see, I'll talk about Norman Vincent Peale a little later on about the power of positive thinking. And then you can see the evidence. But then why quote him? Would you quote from Morals and Dogma in Freemasonry? See, rather don't quote. I mean, you've got the Bible. Quote from the Bible. Go back to the Bible. In fact, never quote me. Go to the Bible. Okay? Because I don't have all truth. I don't. I'm learning all the time. There are people that will have greater revelation on something that I don't have. I mean, you take Mark Bredenkamp in Johannesburg. He knows more about Satanism than I do. Okay? I can give you a little bit of knowledge that I have. But if I want to know more about that, I'd go to Mark. If you want to know anything, go to the scripture. Don't quote people. Rather, go back. Especially the point that you want to make. You know, because you really want the word to go to the person's heart, not what somebody says. Yes. Rebecca Brown, in my opinion, is not a witch. There's been a tape that's been put out to actually discredit her. She she's been persecuted not only by the Satanists and by the witches, but by the very church. Okay? And I have learned a tremendous amount from Rebecca Brown. There was a lot of things I didn't understand, but I realized that as she grew, she showed where she made her mistakes and she got more revelation. But she's a woman of great courage. She's actually living in isolation because she cannot come out without persecution. She's married and she's living in isolation. Okay, biofeedback is another thing which is not on there. So if you've ever been for biofeedback, that feedback that's known as the yoga of the West. You attach yourself to a specifically designed monitor and then you begin to learn to control the autonomic or the unconscious functions of your body. So now you've got migraines, you go and get wired up to this and you learn to control that migraine. So this little needle will start to move and you've now got to force this needle back, because if the needle gets to a certain point, you're going to get a migraine. So now you, by the power of your mind, you are going to force that needle back. They use it for arthritis, pain, any types of pain, for the autonomic parts of your nervous system. Those things that you've got no control on. You can't stop your gastric juices flowing that is going to burn your ulcer, you see? So now they would show you how to learn control. Asthma, heart rate, skin temperatures. By this method, you can achieve within a few weeks or months what has traditionally taken yoga 20 to 40 years to accomplish. So that's the modern yoga. Then we've got the satanic movies, Rosemary's Baby, The Omen, Exorcist, E.T., Vampire, Werewolf, Star Wars, and I think that you can just open the TV magazine now and you can write a whole lot down every month, because they're new, they keep bringing up all these things now. The satanic games and the music, Dungeons and Dragons, certain computer games, and don't think that nobody knows. God knows you're playing those computer games. He knows that you're going for those occultic ones, the horror ones, when you're supposed to be working and your wife thinks, gee, they're working so hard. You've got to get rid of those occultic ones. Heavy metal music, Ozzy Osbourne, Motley Crue, Kiss, Judas Priest. The spirit of rock music is rebellion. It's against Jesus. Black Sabbath, AC/DC, Twisted Sister, Rolling Stones, Fleetwood Mac, Wasp, WASP, Iron Maiden, Alice Cooper. Those need to be destroyed. The rhythms of rock music are directly opposed to the natural rhythms of the human body, especially the human heartbeat. Pop music is upbeat melodies with catchy lyrics, usually unoffensive, about teenage love and rejection. That's what pop music is. Pop music and rock music are not the same thing. Just because a song has drums and electric guitars, it doesn't make it rock and roll. Heavy metal is Satan's rock. It has been progressive and started in the 1950s with Bill Haley, Chuck Berry, Elvis Presley, and Little Richard. We then got to the 1960s, and the superstar groups began to take drugs and sex out of the pawn shops into the record shops, because you could see it on the covers. And then we got to the 1970s up until now, where metal music has blood drinking, flashing demon signs, blasphemy, witchcraft, lewdness, drugs, killing dogs, throwing the blood on the people, and so on. And then we've got something which we call Christian rock. There's no such thing as Christian rock. Jesus Christ has nothing to do with rock and roll. So if you have any of Stryper's band music, you need to destroy it. And unfortunately, that's the only one that I've been exposed to in the Christian rock and roll, which I've had the opportunity to listen to. I'm sure there are others. Okay, we go back to the manual now, the extrasensory apparitions, that scene, the spooks and the ghosts and so on. If you want to see UFOs, or you can't wait to see a UFO, you're always reading up about UFOs and poltergeists, you know, the one that comes and jangles the chains and opens and closes the window and switches the TV on and off and so on. It's a noisy spirit. Then all the other religions are there, and you can just check out if you, anybody in your family has been involved in it. And then there's accurate sound doctrine, so that we know if something's a cult, we always check it out. Now we come to the ultimate in rebellion, which is Satanism. And Ephesians 5 verse 11 and 12 says, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather exposing, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." So working with people in the occult is not easy. They would like someone to fight for them and provide an escape for them. They got into the occult because they can gain a lot without having to work. So when they come to Christ, they want some Christian to do everything for them. They don't want to stand on their own two feet and take back the ground. A lot of them pretend to be ex-Satanists or to be involved or to have been ritualistically abused because they're actually attention seekers. So they come and they tell you this long story that this happened, and you've got to use discernment to know if this is truth or not. And the best way is to actually ask the same question every time they come, but in a different way, and soon you catch them up. The following should be noted: that people who come out of Satanism are ruled by fear. This is Satan's number one tool. They also lie and are accomplished liars and actors. It takes much love, patience and endurance on our behalf to help them. They all suffer from rejection. So all you say and do will be interpreted as rejection. So when you be firm with them and now you're trying to get them to get on with it, they don't love me anymore, and then they back off and they want to go back into it. A lot of people coming out of Satanism suffer from amnesia. It means that they lose their memory. It will take approximately 1 year to stabilize them and get their memory back. Now we're talking about real heavy Satanism where there's been a lot of drugs and so on. The body of Christ must learn how to set free those the Lord would snatch from Satan's sorcery. We must learn how to minister victoriously against the reality that ensnared them, and we must learn how to bring healing to the wounds of those whom Satan has afflicted. Now, how did Satanism begin? The Church of Satan was founded in 1966 in California by the world leader Anton LaVey. He did not believe that Satan was a real person, but rather a dark hidden force in nature, responsible for the working of earthly affairs. He died last year. They hoped he'd die on Halloween, but he didn't. I think he died a week before, a week after. He believes that evil is good and good is evil. The scripture Isaiah 5:20-21 says that woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And that's what Satan would say, that evil is good and good is evil. He was highly influenced by Aleister Crowley. Aleister Crowley was born in 1875 and died in 1947. He said that do what you will is the whole of the law. He wrote the Satanic Bible in 1969. This is Anton LaVey. And the Satanic Rituals in 1972. On the altar of the devil, up is down. Pleasure is pain. Darkness is light. Slavery is freedom. And madness is sanity. Aleister Crowley was an occultist and a Freemason who referred to himself as the beast. He used the symbol 666. He was a sex pervert and said that power could be harnessed in the sex act. He practiced left and right tantra yoga, which I'll explain when we get there. The Satanic Church is run by a priest who is in charge of a coven or a grotto, and a lot of Masonic rituals and traditions are carried out. To see the effects of Satanism, we look at Hitler, whose character was perverted and who became a law unto himself. For your interest, Ron L. Hubbard, the founder of the Church of Scientology, was a disciple of Anton LaVey. So now we're looking at Hitler. He was raised in a Catholic home. He regularly attended Mass, was an altar boy. He attended school in a Benedictine monastery. The abbot was heavily involved in the occult and Eastern mysticism. He had a library of occult books that were personally marked. He studied medieval occultism and ritual magic. He kept a copy of Blavatsky's The Secret Doctrine beside his bed. Madame Blavatsky was the one who the Theosophical Society. Before 1920, he heard voices that told him that he had been selected by God to be Germany's Messiah, saving the nation from the claws of international Jewry. By 1909, his family fell apart and both his parents died untimely death. By 1920, with no experience in politics or public speaking, he was a charismatic leader of the National Socialism. His speech was peppered with poison of Blavatsky's root race theory, the fifth root race of divine Aryans. By 1933, he was the head of the German state, and he adopted a swastika as the party emblem. A quarter of the SS members were Catholics. The swastika was an ancient symbol of Babylon. The arms were bent to the left, it meant for good. If it was bent to the right, it was a symbol of evil. In other words, it was a symbol of Lucifer. Hitler personally selected the final design of the Nazi blood flag and reversed the swastika. In 1935, he was addicted to drugs. His companion gave him belladonna injections, the opium family. And in 1939, he told the world in the new world, the Jewish race in Europe will be destroyed. He said that in 1939. Hitler said that Jews were subhumans, who he was determined to exterminate from the good of the Aryan race. He was so deluded that in his book he said, "Today I believe I am acting in accordance with the Almighty Creator by defending myself against the Jew. I am fighting for the work of the Lord." He was obsessed with blood and power. He worshipped himself. He acknowledged the role of Freemasonry in his life. At the Last Supper with his followers, he held a black mass, where he invited them to eat his body, and he gave them sausage made with his blood. He was a vegetarian. All Bibles were replaced by Mein Kampf, which means my way, my plan. And the Christian cross was replaced by a swastika. His war was with the Jew and the Christian. His propaganda originated in the pit of hell. He mesmerized the German people that they thought they were doing God a favor by killing the Jews. He perpetuated a hatred for the Jew, causing them to be persecuted, rejected, and slaughtered. Types of Satanism. You find that there is the organized occultism, which you can read about, self-styled occultism, and then you get the dabbler. But it's just important to note that most organized members began as a dabbler unless they were born into a family practicing it. I'm not going to go through all of this about organized Satanism. What I do want to just mention is Halloween. In point F, on 8.21, we've got Halloween there. Halloween is a night set aside for glorification and worship of idols, false gods, Satan, and death. You do not allow your children to dress up and to go trick and treating. You put a stop to that, and you do not allow it. It's creeping into South Africa. When we were children, we never heard of it. We knew that it was Halloween, but we never saw anything. We didn't get dressed up. We didn't go and do trick and treat. Now in South Africa, you find that that is what's happening. What is Halloween? It's the feast of the Samhain. Samhain. Fires were lit to Samana, the Lord of Death. The way we would recognize him is he was called the Grim Reaper, the guy with a black hood on, that stands with no face, or the skeleton as the face. That's the Grim Reaper. Demons roamed, wreaking mischief and vengeance, and were soothed by threats to offset a trick. So you see, that's why they went to say trick or treat. You see, the demon was going to do something, which ghostly blackmailers might be tempted to inflict. The sacrifices were offered on these fires. Druid priests were sacrificing to Lord of Death. So when you let your child dress up and go, what you're actually encompassing is death. And we do it, and I'm telling you, 90% of the Americans just do it because it's fun. They don't know what they're doing. So they would go and say trick or treat, because if they said trick, then the demon would, if they got a treat, it was fine, but if they did trick, the demon would now kill the chickens or slaughter the cow or whatever, because they were farming community, you see. Okay, there you can see about who's vulnerable, when are they vulnerable, the recruiting techniques of Satanism, and the way they work. Now we're going to just look at the warning signs. When you've got a child who suddenly starts having emotional changes in their behavior, they become depressed or they start to isolate themselves, they're drawn more and more into their bedrooms, closing the door. Now please, just because your child is a quiet child and he's actually studying or he's listening to some nice music, they don't go home sneaking up to see now, okay? There's a rejection of the parental values. When he used to come to church, he doesn't want to come to church. If he used to have a quiet time as a family or a Bible time, he doesn't want to do that anymore. He gets angry if you start to talk about things like that. When he used to go along and visit Granny, now they all stop going to see Granny when they get to 14, okay? They don't want to go anymore. But if he now stops and he doesn't want to go and see his relatives, start taking notes. But remember that all children go through a stage where they want to be independent. They don't want to go everywhere where mom and dad go. Turning away from conventional religion. Disregard for rules of authority. Not just in your home, in the school. Unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic and witchcraft. They visited the library and now they are taking out these books. You will find the books in the room. Strange alphabets communicating backwards. And I'm going to show you what these alphabets look like. And you can see, it's not for you to now be able to memorize. Okay, those are photographic memories, well done. But it's just so that you can get an idea of the little squiggles of what it looks like. These are the alphabets. That first top one is the what's the name? The top one is the Theban alphabet. Then you've got the witch's alphabet, and then you've got the runic alphabet at the very bottom. So you can see just what it looks like. They start to communicate with each other with these alphabets. Obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references. At school, the compositions or the essays and stories are about the devil, suicide, bizarre events, death, etc. Drugs are usually involved, almost 99.9% there's drugs involved. Starts off with dacha, smoking the odd joint. Eventually that doesn't give you the high. You've then got to change to something else or involve the two. Satanic symbols on books, papers, etc. And the possession of candles, stones, powders, oils, and pentagrams. So let's look at some of these satanic symbols. Okay. You can just read through them very quickly. I'm not going to go through them all. There's a swastika. There's the symbol standing for anarchy. Move it across a bit. The goat's head. There's the Kabbalah symbols around that goat's head. Now that one's a bit of a horror down the bottom, okay? It's called the disguised 666. A disguised interlocked trio of sixes, symbolic of the Antichrist, also symbolizes the triple goddess of Wicca, three interlocked vesica passes together, commonly used in Catholic liturgical iconography, and has recently found its way into the logo of the New King James Bible. And I will show it to you. All my little papers will fall out here. But there is that in the front of the Bible. And I guarantee that when they put it in, it was said to people that that's the Trinity. But the root of it, the origin of it, is that. Now, I don't have to tear the page out of my Bible. Okay? I prayed about it. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Throw my Bible in the fire? Which I nearly thought, I thought, Lord, if you tell me that, I've got lots of notes in this Bible. But the Lord didn't tell me to get rid of this Bible. I just prayed and I broke any curse that came from that symbol. In Jesus' name. Okay, let's look at the pentagram. I just want to show you, I think it's the goat's head one. This was actually drawn by a child that was receiving ministry in America, not here. There's the goat's head with the third eye. You see the third eye in the center there with the hexagram. Do you see the names of the gods? You see Baal mentioned, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Asmodeus. You're going to learn about Asmodeus with the lust, the tetragrammaton. And if you go up to the bottom one, you see there some more names of the gods. Okay? Just so that you can recognize it. I'm sure most of us know what it is. Okay? Now, if you turn over in your manual, after page 25, there's some more satanic symbols there. The five-pointed star is one of the world's oldest symbols. It's used as an amulet to bring good fortune and ward off harm. And that's the pentagram, and there it is. If the two horns are at the top, it's supposed to mean black magic, and if one horn is at the top, it's white magic. And then I've got a little story for each one. That number six, the thunderbolt, is the god of thunder, called Thor. And now who can tell me which pop group had that on there? Who? AC/DC. Okay, and then you can see the upside down cross. Number four is the leprechaun staff. People will have a piece of jewelry where they'll put that around their neck. It's usually gold. It's a blessing for finances. That's why they're wearing it. That lightning bolt is also from Knights in Satan's Service Kiss, the pop group Kiss. I've also got that lightning bolt. And of course, which motor car's got the lightning bolt? Opel. Opel, because the roots of all of that. Chrysler have got all their roots in the New Age. All the Chrysler staff are trained in New Age thinking and mind control. And my husband's in advertising, and they had the Chrysler account, and he was supposed to go to America, and it was a great distress to me because I knew that he would come under their training when he went to Detroit to do this. And God supernaturally took him out of that company before they sent him, so that he didn't have to go, because it really distressed me that he would get exposed to that. Because how do you say, well, sorry, I'm not going because you're going to give me New Age thinking, you know? Okay, so those are the symbols for you to just see. Unfamiliar jewelry, if you see your child wearing these things, upside down cross, the anarchy sign. Let's look at that one with the anarchy sign with the blood sacrifice. Okay, there's the blood sacrifice. If the A extends, the lines extend, the arms extend past that circle, that means a blood sacrifice has been committed on that piece of property or at that place. But if it was just the A, a plain A, or it was within the circle, it did not go out of that circle, it means anarchy. And long ago there was a Rice Krispie ad about 3 years ago where the A was actually displayed in the Rice Krispie ad. You know, with a pop, snapple, crack, and they were sitting there, and there you saw the A. Subliminal things speaking to the youth about anarchy. Okay, and then the top one of that is the watcher, just so that you can see the watcher again if you weren't here yesterday. There's the watcher, that little funny man with the eyes and his arms. They will draw that when they have been, they put a watcher to watch a church or a home or an area. Thank you. Attempted suicide, if your child starts suffering from such depression that they want to kill themselves, okay, there's a possibility that there's Satanism. But not every child that has depression is involved in Satanism. Tattoos, the skull, the black rose, the crossbones, the coiled serpent, the clock with hands at 10:20, a knife dripping blood, and all those different words. Nema, Sul, Satan, is natus written backwards. The Greek EEE is 666 and FFF and Natasha. Now, if your name is Natasha, then I would encourage you at some time to come up tomorrow, and we will just break any curse attached to that name. But you really do not have to go and change your name, okay? We've got a lot of strange things happening in the church where people are suddenly becoming Joshuas and Calebs and going off and changing their name because somebody's prophesied over them that they now shall be a Joshua taking the people into the promised land, and then they don't want to be Dennis or Peter or anything like that anymore. It's true. It really is happening in Joburg, okay? So we don't have to go change our name. It's the same if your name is Diane, or like Diana, okay, that's the fertility god, sexual god, lesbianism. You can see that Diana is very feminine and she's a lady, okay, because we've broken off anything from her name. But she's not changed her name, she's still Diana. Okay, the history of the pentagram you can read about. Just for your own information, you have two scriptures where it mentions the star in the scripture. Amos 5:26. Called the Star of Your Gods. I can't find too much in all the commentaries and books that I've got. It's also known as Rephan. R-E-P-H-A-N. He was a star god in Acts 7, verse 43. So they're not talking about the Star of David here. They're talking about a star that was known as something to do with the evil. But there's no picture of it or anything. But I assume that it's something to do with the pentagram in some way or other. Now, if you suspect that your child is involved with occultic practices or is associating with a practitioner of the occult, don't ignore the facts as just a fad or a phase, or they'll grow out of it. As a parent, you need to be interested in your children's friends, their social activities, habits, and influences, and become involved in your child's lifestyle. You do not allow your child to go anywhere without knowing where they are and what time they will be home, and so that if you need to get hold of them, you need to be able to have a contact number. It doesn't matter even if they get to be 18, because if you start when they're young and you always go out telling them exactly where you are and where you can be contacted, they will just follow along. Train up a child in the way he must go and he will not depart from it. So if you do that with your children, they won't want to go to other places because they know you're keeping tabs. So you must be accountable to God for your children, and you must know what's happening in their lives. Those who seek to fight against Satan in their own strength are doomed to defeat. So if you know you've dabbled in these things at some stage, don't think, well, look, I'll go home and just sort this out. No. You can only sort this out with Jesus Christ. He is the only one. He has defeated them, Satan, and only those who stand in that victory can see the enemy destroyed in their lives. Those involved in Satanism and the occult, those who feel trapped inside the black hole of devil worship and perversion, those who have sacrificed animals and humans, those who have sold themselves to the devil for the illusion of power, riches and fame, and those who have spat at God, mocked his son, torn apart the Bible, need to know that even now it is not too late to get out. Satan is a liar, the father of all lies, and God's word is true. Ezekiel 33:11 says, "Say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live." So we are not going to do deliverance for this tonight, because you see what a very long lecture this is. We are going to do the deliverance for the occult tomorrow night with the witchcraft. So we're going to deal with the whole occultic route in praying for the people and casting out those things tomorrow. But what you're going to do is that you are going to renounce the occultic route, and then you've got homework to do. So I want you to turn, to stand, and to turn to page 82. Thank you so much. Page 82 of your manual. If you don't have a manual, please would you go and stand next to somebody that you can share in this prayer of renouncing the occultic sin. And when we have prayed this prayer, we will then put our focus back on Jesus, and we will just close with one or two praise songs, just putting our focus where it belongs. Right, we are all going to pray this prayer, and you're going to believe what you are saying. You're not just going to do mumbo jumbo yet. Okay, all together. Almighty God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I confess to you these things which your word tells me are abomination in your sight. I now renounce these practices. I renounce Satan and all his works. I renounce my spirit guide in the name of Jesus, the Messiah. And I command you, deceitful spirit, to depart from me, to go to that place where Jesus sends you. I now reject any psychic powers or abilities which have possessed me, and I command them to leave my life in the name of Jesus the Messiah. I renounce the occult practices of my forefathers. If any spirit of witchcraft or sorcery has attached itself to me, all my children, all my family line, because of these practices, I now command them to leave. And I declare by the victory of Jesus Christ that their power over me and any of my children or my grandchildren is now broken forever. I now ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord, and I commit myself to you now forever. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Cover me and my family with the protection of your holy blood shed at the cross in payment for my sins. Almighty God, I praise you that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Destroy now, Almighty Lord, every work of the devil in my life and in the life of my children. Shield and protect us from the hatred and deceit of the evil one. Teach me, Lord, how to truly minister to my children in your name, that they may always see your grace and unconditional love for them reflected through me. I lift this prayer to you, Heavenly Father, in the precious name of your Son, my Lord, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, I pray that your Spirit would now descend upon each person in this place, that your peace would abound, that, Lord, these people will not go away afraid, but that their focus will be upon you, the King of Kings, who has conquered the enemy. I pray, Lord, that as they obey you and clean out their homes, you will honor them. I pray, Lord, that for some where it will be extremely difficult, you will strengthen them. I ask you, Lord, to help them to submit totally to you, in body, in soul, and in spirit. Now raise your hand. We receive from you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we declare that we are free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're going to worship.